Wonder What podcast. My name's Robbie.
And I'm Rob. And we're here. What are we here for, Robbie?
We are here to discuss all things Eastgate.
We're here at the kitchen table to talk about Eastgate. Once again. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while, so I kind of have to scratch my brain and remember how this all works, but I'm glad to be back.
I am too. Especially since it's in my house. So I really haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah, I just pushed you off the couch.
Pushed me off the couch, rolled me off the couch, dragged me out here to the kitchen table. Talk, man, talk!
Shoved you towards the kitchen table, that's right. Thank you.
So what do we got going on? What are we going to talk about when we talk about Eastgate and other things? We're going to talk about Eastgate, we're going to talk about things in the news. We're going to talk about a little bit about theology and the Bible and all kinds of really interesting things.
Just a potpourri mix of stuff.
So if you have nothing else to do, which I would assume you've got something better to do, but for the next hour, oh man, I hope not an hour, but it could be an hour. I'll apologize ahead of time. I'm so sorry that this is taking so long.
Hopefully you're on your way to work or something. You got nothing better to do, which is when I listen to my podcast.
That's right. You kind of, you can put it on like double speed or whatever. We can all sound like Alvin the Chipmunk.
Yes, 1.5 speed.
Yeah, there you go. Get this thing over with.
And, but thanks for tuning in today. Yeah. We appreciate it. We don't want to put you down. We appreciate you.
No, yeah, we like all four of you who are listening. The one who's probably drifting off to sleep, drowsing off, I was going to say. Hopefully you're not driving the car right now, though. Because that could be disastrous.
Yes, don't sleep.
But wake
and
up
drive.
If you're driving. Stay alert.
Don't sleep and drive.
Both hands on the wheel, 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Don't talk on your cell phone. What are you doing? Put it down.
Now, listen.
Just pay attention. We're going to talk you through this.
We have important stuff.
So, yes. Can I slap it?
Name that movie. Oh, which reminds me of a great podcast I've just started listening to again.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Yeah,
name that movie.
Totally out of order right now. Yes, Matt and Cole have relaunched their podcast.
That's right,
Movie Town Movie Club, and that's something that Matt and Cole do at the beginning, where they each name a movie quote, and by the next podcast, you're supposed to write in and guess what movie it's from. Write in what movie it's from. So it's pretty cool. If anybody knows that movie quote. I was talking to Daniel or one of our kids about that.
I'm going
to
give it away right now, so it doesn't matter. Are you going to tell them to call
you
in?
You had 5 seconds. Here 5 seconds.
This was recorded a long time ago, but hopefully.
It was one of our favorite movies when our kids were little.
Yeah.
Hopefully still a good movie. I don't know.
We haven't seen it in years and years, but we loved it when we watched
it. We did.
Brave Little Toaster.
Mm-hmm.
What a great, fun movie. And it had a lot of comedians from SNL in it.
John Lovitz was the lamp, and that was the lamp talking to the toaster.
No, John Lovitz was the radio.
Oh, yeah, he was the radio.
It was, I forget who all, it doesn't matter.
But he was the lamp saying goodnight to the toaster, and he's like, goodnight, slothead. And he started snoring immediately, and it was one of our favorite lines.
And we still say it to this day, 20 years, 20-something years later.
The years are adding up.
Anyway.
Another news.
Yes. We're old.
But you all knew that already. Okay, so upcoming Eastgate events. This is all pending on when you can get the editing done on this. So if the editing
once you
gets
drag
done,
me from the kitchen table to the computer table to do the editing, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. For all the times I misspeak and forget what I'm going to say, you have to go back and fix. Could take a while. So, but we do have, if this gets done soon and you listen to it soon, we have something coming up in a few days, which is our very last Surf and Grill for the year.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
the last one. We cut it down this year to just doing two a year. And there's just a lot of different reasons we went into it. But one thing is it makes it more of a special event. And we were having a little bit of not an issue or anything like that, but it just didn't seem as well attended last year, and this makes it a little bit more exciting. Plus, we do a thing where we decided we're just going to have one service on that day, so the whole day is kind of geared around the beach party, and that's a lot of fun. So
it's really fun because everybody's in one meeting. There's no kids classes.
Yeah.
It's instead of a 9 and 11 o'clock service, we just have one service at 10. All the kids are there. They're welcome to come up and sit on the floor if they want to. We have a short worship service. You have a shorter teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all just go down to the beach afterwards.
That's really fun. Last time it was just like, it was the best. It was so fun. It actually really harkened back to, because we've been doing this for well over 10 years. And so it harkened back to that.
And so just that is the last one of the year if the weather holds out and all that. So
if you're hearing this after the fact, hope you had a good time.
Yes. Hope the weather held out. If not, then we'll reschedule.
Future Robin Robbie will have been there, and we've hopefully had a great time.
Yes.
So any kind of small group news or news going on of that kind?
Well, we have, just to reiterate, we have all our regular small groups are still going on or started back up if they weren't. The men's breakfast, the last Saturday of the month, the women's breakfast, the first Saturday of the month. And then there's a women's Bible study. I think that's the second Sunday night of the month. The student night that Janelle started has gone on about the three times now, and that's once a month. All of those should be on our website calendar. I think I've mentioned this before, but our website is such that you have to manually add these each every month. You can't repeat any of them. So as the staff, as we get around to it, we're like, oh yeah, we got to update the calendar. So occasionally those don't get updated, but we try to stay on top of that as much as we can. But those are all still the regular groups going on, and you're thinking of doing a new thing.
Well, yeah, and it's not even so much small groups as more been thinking a lot lately about Eastgate and our reach into the larger community. I think we seem to do well with supporting each other and looking after each other and showing each other love, but there is a mission to this as well. And I've been praying about that, thinking about it. Lance Ford, who's spoken at Eastgate several times, he's an author, had told me about a church down in Tampa called Underground Church. And it's fascinating. I don't know a whole lot about them, but just in looking over their website and looking over their newsletter, I was really intrigued by something that they do that I just thought would be worth emulating, not, you know, trying to copy and do what they do there and try to make it work here, but it certainly sparked my imagination. And I was thinking about it, where they have over 200 different ministries that go on from out of that church. They call them micro churches, but just smaller groups of people that are doing things that reach out into the community to help, and categorized into helping poor, the arts. What are some of the, do you remember any of the other categories?
I remember one of them was a group of people who are helping women who work like in strip clubs and things like that. Yeah. They were actually reaching out to them to help them get off the streets and minister to them, minister the gospel and help them get out of the trade that they're in.
Yeah. And some of the things are vocational. They're teaching guys that were addicts at one time how to build and things like that. And like I said, some of it's in the arts. So some of it's like jewelry making, or I saw one thing that was a improv class. They were providing an improv class and opening it up to the larger community. And at first, I looked at that and I started to get discouraged, thinking, I don't even know where to begin. I don't know how to do improv. I don't know what to do with it. Yeah. So, I mean, how are we supposed to do this? And I have felt for a while the Lord kind of tugging, like the Spirit indicating that this was the next move for Eastgate to be thinking in terms of how we're going to impact the world around us. And then while we were gone, Lance Ford spoke, and he used an acrostic called Light, LIGHT. And as he went through that, something just clicked for me. And I just felt like, man, if we could just get some people together at Eastgate and start going through that together, like the LIGHT, going, listening to the Holy Spirit, what makes Panama City, Panama City Beach unique? Where is it dark? Where can we be a light? What do the various peoples of this community have a passion for? And can we bring that together, support each other in reaching out to the larger community, just with the light of God's kingdom and the message of God's grace and his love? And I don't know, I just got excited about it.
Every time you talk about it, you get excited. Yeah, again, just even reiterating it, it always is a, I don't know, there's a passion there.
Well, there's a sense that this is something that the Lord is doing, and we'll see. I mean, you know, I honestly, we're just now in the sketch phases of it, but we're going to make that a community sketch. I'm not going to sketch it out and tell you what we're going to do. I feel like if we can get together and dialogue on this and talk about it and see who else has a passion for this and what God's doing in that, it's exciting to me anyway. I believe that we're definitely at a time for Eastgate where we need to start becoming more outwardly focused. We did, you know, things have happened at Eastgate in stages, and I really feel like we've had a lot of years of focusing on the fact that we're loved by God, that we know that we're loved by God, that we know how to love each other. We're learning, you know, we talk mm-hmm. about that, but I feel like we're getting a better grasp on that, of being accepting and loving of people that come in at whatever stages they're in. And I'm just recognizing and seeing that there's another phase of this. There's a field out there that's white and ready for harvest. And I believe Christ wants us at work in that. So anyway,
that's awesome. And I guess I feel like we have talked about our history before, and we did not, we're not trained to start a church or anything like that. It's just kind of one of those things that happen.
Church by accident.
Exactly. And so in some ways I kind of feel like we've always looked over our shoulder, like, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Or
are we doing this right?
What are the big boys doing?
We're the big kids. We're the cool ones.
That's right. And I think we've just always come back to God just takes us by the hand and leads us where he wants to go when he wants us to go there. And including missions. I know, like, even when we were just brand new baby, they're like, well, who do you support mission-wise? And we're like, we don't even know who we are yet. We didn't know anything about the mission field or
where do you
support.
Find them?
Where do you even start? Yes. And so, but God brought them literally to
step
us.
Step by step, people came to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel like the same thing is happening with this, that as we're ready, and I feel like there was even kind of, I don't know, God sort of confirmed that, I think, at the beginning, that there would come a time that as we grew, that he would put things in place at the right time and right place. And we just have to be patient. And no matter what the expectations were of other people, that why aren't you doing this or why aren't you doing that, we just had to take things as God led us.
And right now, at this season, I just feel like there's confirmation happening left and right. When I talk about this to various people, and I've, you know, only mentioned it briefly during one Sunday morning service, but I had several people come to me saying that they had the same sense at the same time and have been thinking through things that are almost similar to what we're talking about. So we'll just see. We'll see where it goes. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely excited about what God's going to do with this. So
I guess what brought this up initially to me too was you had thought about one of the first things you would do would be to have a Wednesday night meeting to just discuss the initial.
Yeah, it might have to be a Tuesday. I don't know that we have any Wednesdays open at Eastgate, but yeah, a meeting for anybody who's interested. And I don't know how many would show up for that, but we'll just, you know, even sit down with a whiteboard and work through these things. We're going to take time. We're going to pray, begin with pray and listen for the Holy Spirit. We're going to invite input from that, the vision or perspectives that people may have on this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to consider how it is that we can, give blessings, give grace to the community around us. And we're going to hear from the gospel. We're going to look at how Jesus went and did this. And then, and then as this develops and goes on, then we'll start taking inventory. Where are we? How have we done? What's happening?
Yeah. So. Well, I think one thing too, we've talked about this, I don't want to jump the gun too much, but we've even talked about supporting organizations and groups that are already in progress.
Yes.
And what can we do to support the things that have already put a lot of time and effort into supporting the community.
I know that I'm sure that there's ways in which the city is the city of Panama City Beach or officials at Bay County have things in place that they're doing.
There's a lot of great charitable organizations already.
And even the city itself as it's doing things, even like cleanup projects or whatever.
Yes.
So we're just excited to see what can develop from here. And we'll throw the ideas out there, see which ones stick, see which ones that seem to get some momentum behind them. And hopefully we'll just find a greater sense of purpose in what it is that God has for us and what we're doing here on this planet.
Absolutely. So as we kind of nail the date and time down for that, keep an eye out for it on the bulletin and on the website, and we'll have more information as that comes together.
I do actually want to qualify one thing too. I do not see this as something where we're going to try to do a church growth thing or promote Eastgate or something like that. This, in my thinking, is where we need to be that light. You know, if it becomes something that makes Eastgate attractional, that's fine. That'll be a beautiful byproduct. But the main thing is to be able to be out there and be that light, be the light that's representing the kingdom of God and the good news that Jesus loves us. And you know, that's just cool. Anyway, I just wanted to qualify that.
That's good.
So what else is going on? We got other, like, news in the news or anything like that?
Well, one other thing I just wanted to mention that's kind of along the lines really even of what you were talking about, Pineapple Willie's
Oh, yes.
Is doing a lot of great things for the community. They have always been very charitable. In fact, they've been doing beach cleanup all summer long. And for the number of people that show up, they donate $10 to a particular charity for cleaning up the beach. And they even did one for our youth, which was awesome.
Yeah, for the Eastgate youth. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that was really great. But that has come and gone. but they have another thing going on, and it's August 27th through the 31st. And so basically anyone that eats at their restaurant between those dates, 100% of their profits go towards charities. And they have three charities designated. It's Beach Care Services, Paws and Claws, and Basic of Northwest Florida, I think, are the three charities. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that if you...
And all of those charities are great, but Beach Care Services, we've been supporting them since they began. I was actually there at the planning stages for Beach Care, the Beach Ministerial Association, back when I first, when Eastgate was first starting. I started attending those meetings and got on board. I was even sitting in on the development of the bylaws when it first began. It's a wonderful organization that really helps needy people in the beach area, which we really have not had up until that organization came along.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with them, they're kind of like a mini mission. I mean, apart from they don't house people building, but they help pay people's electric bills and
give medical vouchers and all kinds of, you know, the
gas cards and stuff.
I mean, it really becomes a very helpful thing for people who are in need in our community, and that's an important aspect of the advance of the kingdom as well. So anyway, the Pineapple Willie's, that is a win-win all the way around, because you can go there. The food is awesome. It's one of the few places you can actually sit right on the beach nowadays and
on the pier, over the water. And
the food is wonderful. And so, I mean, to realize that you're going there, you're getting a decent meal and you're supporting a great cause, that's just a win-win.
Yes.
I really encourage everybody to go out there and do that.
Yes. We have another Eastgate news that was kind of starting to happen on the last podcast, but it's official now.
Oh, right. Are you talking about the new owners?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. We have new owners that own the Beachwalk Center.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice man.
Yeah, you got to meet him. And
his name escapes me, but he's really, really nice guy.
I know his last name.
What's his last
Nelken,
name?
Nelken.
So if we call him Mr. Nelken.
Mr. Nelken,
because
he owns Nelken Real Estate. I think he's from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they've been coming and doing all these great
improvements on the building. Oh, if you've been around our building and seen what's happened to it, they've repainted the outside. They're actually providing new signage for us.
They're all going to be lighted signs.
Yeah, it's incredible. So
they've painted everything. There's been a lot of, if you've been there, there's stucco pillars with wood trim. All the wood trim, a lot of it has been rotting out and falling off. It's embarrassing. But they've replaced it all and repainted it. And
really looks
repainted
nice.
The benches. And you met him.
I met him. Here's the thing. I mean, this is the guy, you know, obviously he's wealthy enough to buy that shopping center. But he was out there with the guys that were doing the pressure washing and the pan. He's out there holding the paintbrush and painting right along with them.
Yeah.
And was just a friendly, super nice guy. So if you think of it, if you're a part of Eastgate and you're a member of this church, man, this is somebody you would definitely want to pray for pray for, you know, God's blessing on him. He's been very kind to us so far. So,
in fact, he's even offered to repair our back wall that's been damaged from the bad roof we had for all those years. The old owner did replace the roof just before he bought it. So that's nice. We don't have any leaks anymore.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
And he says he'll repair that whole back wall the drywall's been damaged. So we're looking forward to having that done too. But yeah, it's kind of nice. We have a nice look to it now.
Yeah.
Starting to feel a tiny bit legitimate.
It's like, well, I got worried because I was like, oh, are we going to have to be respectable now because the place looks respectable?
Everybody shakes their head. It'll never happen.
It'll never happen. It can't happen. Well, anything funny been going on at Eastgate lately? It's always funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just always, you know, it's always something dumb happening. But
actually, the other day, Sunday, I had to leave in the middle of the meeting for a second. And probably everybody that's been there has seen that accordion door closet. And if anybody's ever had to go in there for any reason, it's a hot mess.
We call it the jungle because there's a jungle painting on the wall.
It used to be
years ago. It used to be the nursery, which is a frightening concept in and of itself. But
But yeah, so anyway, it was getting really crowded, but I had to leave in the middle of the meeting. As I walked back through the coffee house, I passed that accordion door and it was completely closed. And then it slowly opened as I walked by, and Steve, who's my media guy, he's our IT guy, his face was behind it and it just slowly opened with him in there. And I went, "Steve, what's happening? Are you coming out of the closet?" And he said, "It wouldn't be the first time." But anyway, it just so happened that today the staff had a staff meeting and we cleaned that sucker
We
out.
Cleaned the closet. We came out of the closet too.
I might ask Janelle to post some pictures because she took before and after pictures. And
it was
many of us? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 of us. And it took probably 4 hours
or
more.
It was incredible. You could not believe it. It was like an explosion. It was like Eastgate 3. Grew up all over the place when you pulled everything out of
there.
We
took everything out of that closet, and when you looked at it, it took up about 3 rooms. It took up the whole coffee house, part of the Kidsgate area, and part of the soundboard area. And we're like, "How did this come out of here?"
We put a giant tub of nails in front of Liz and said, "Here, sort these."
Oh my goodness. We had to call the trash people and say, "Can you take some extra trash?" And they said, "Send us pictures. We'll let you know how much it's going to cost." I mean, we had stuff. I know it's been cleaned out in 20 years because we haven't had that actual room for 20 years, but it felt like 20 years worth of junk. And we're like, "What?"
There were lots and lots and lots and lots of things that we were holding going, what is this? And then strange little
memories trickle back in. Like,
oh,
I think
that's
this was for
right.
something
yeah.
5 years ago. I sat down with extension cords for probably a half an hour, just looping them up and wrapping them together. And it was like I said,
anyway,
it was a hot mess.
Not that we ever want anybody to be peering into our closets because it's still a closet. It's a storage closet.
I'm
going to
show anybody that walks by. It is a thing of beauty now.
And here's the other thing is that I've also felt that it would be nice to have a little more storage space so that if we ever did do things like go packs for foster kids or things like that, it'd be nice to have a spot where we could store them and
which
and
was a big
be
part of the reason for this. So. And the next staff meeting we have, we're gonna tackle that kitchen, which got a lot of junk back there too. So things just kind of pile up after a while. People give us stuff and it's just you don't always know what you have. So
just so you know that it's a clean start for the Eastgate closet. You don't
it's beautiful.
You don't have to worry about what's in the closet at Eastgate.
That's right. Please ask me to show you that closet. I'd like to share something people may not know about you.
Uh-oh. Okay, what?
Well, something I've just noticed lately, and maybe it's escalated as you've gotten older. You're getting ready for another birthday. I don't know if that's why. But traffic is difficult for you. Driving can
what
be
do you
a
mean?
Real
I
issue.
I can drive. I'm the only one who knows how to drive. That's the whole problem. The whole thing is that nobody else knows how to drive. I'm the only one.
Calm down.
Okay, but
this
you
is
know what
happens.
It's like.
This is what happens. I think Rob needs prayer for when he's behind the wheel. Because there's a lot of things that come up when you're driving.
What do you mean? No, I'm instructional when I drive. I want people to know.
They can't hear you.
Yeah,
just
well,
so you know.
I'm sending them vibes. Like, get off the street and never get in your car again. That'd be a good vibe.
I think this is something I didn't know about you or else it's changed recently. I don't know, but there's not a lot of patience or grace for other
people. I've always had a struggle with traffic. I've just always had a struggle with, it's not even traffic.
It's more verbal, maybe.
I don't even mind cars as much as the people that don't know how to drive those cars. That's all.
I try to remind you of things like, well, maybe the car in front of us has a wedding cake they're trying to balance on their way to a wedding, and that's why they're driving so
stupidly
slow.
And that only works
for
a little while, but then I'm just angry that why? Why are you carrying your wedding cake there? Why can't you just stay home with the wedding cake? Can't you have the wedding at home? What's the big deal? But you're in my way. Just, you know, they'll hang around in a lane forever, just blinker on. I don't know where they're going, what's going on. I'm just like, I don't know. You don't know what to do with your life, but don't drag me into your nightmare.
Calm down.
Anyway.
I can see this breaks up a lot of things, even here at the kitchen table. So Rob could use a little prayer there.
I'm
maybe.
Fine. Everything's fine. Just as long as everybody stays out of my way.
I notice it doesn't help if I'm driving either. There's still issues that come up if I'm driving. Maybe even worse. I don't know.
Well, no, it's fine. Honestly, I'm the picture of grace and humility.
No, I'm telling you, there's a reason we don't have any Eastgate stickers on our cars. No
well,
way.
No. What? I did... I have never,
saying.
You've never seen me yell at a person where they'd see it.
How can they see you yelling?
Well, that's
your
the thing.
Windows
so,
are
I mean,
tinted.
You've never seen me like, I'm not like, it's not like I'm flipping people off or something like that. all the time. Stop. What do you mean? No, but that was, nobody would have seen that. Anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah, pray for me. It's true. Pray for me.
That's his weakness. You all thought Rob was so perfect. Now you know. Okay, you maybe know. You didn't.
Now
think
you know.
That.
Steer clear. If you see Rob yeah. driving,
you could say something about me. I hate frogs. I don't know what you want to say. I can't think of anything.
What you may not know about Robbie is she's a narc when it comes to people's driving habits.
There you go.
No, what you may not know about Robbie is that she never sits still. Robbie is not, if I, it's an interesting thing. I can look at her mom and I look at her daughter and I realized, oh my gosh, this is a family trait. They don't sit, hey, let's sit and watch, let's watch this movie. If she doesn't have a computer in front, no, if you don't have a computer
I'm
or
sitting.
If you're not bookkeeping or something like that, you're asleep, like, boop, like that, like immediately. But if you can work or you get up and you walk around, you do other things while we're doing it, then, you know, it's whatever. But you are not a sit still person. See, my wife works 7 days a week. It's not a joke. She actually does.
And
I'm not somebody who can deal with that.
See, and I like to think people are out there applauding me for this.
No.
Because they're like, good for her.
Everybody's
She's a
praying.
Multitasker.
Everybody at this moment is praying for me. They fall into their knees. You can almost hear it.
Whatever. I get work done. They're, I gotta get stuff done.
You thought that the traffic thing. No, they're praying right now. Lord, help her.
So you
help
see what happens
down.
When I stop working.
Yeah, you fall asleep.
That's right.
My magnetic personality is not enough to keep you awake.
We each have our own couch.
Yeah, that would be a challenge otherwise. Believe me. Anyway, so there you go. Never drive with Rob. Never try to watch a movie with Robbie. And there you go.
There's been a few movies I've seen just parts of, quite a few.
Oh, yeah, quite a few. We were watching a movie just the other day. You're saying, I've never seen this. And I said, what are you talking about? We watched this like 2-3 weeks ago. I never saw. You've hidden this movie from me. No, you were awake for 5 seconds and then gone. Anyway.
That's a gift.
It's a gift.
Speaking of movies, what have we been watching lately?
My head right now is Peaky Blinders. We've been kind of binge watching that, and it was fun. I'm going to use my honest critique, and you and I have not discussed this, but my honest critique is that it's starting to fall off for me.
Season 3?
Yeah. Season 2 is even starting to get that way for me. I don't know what it is. There's a shift that's taking place in the story arc. Well, we should explain for those who haven't seen Peaky Blinders. It's about the Scarecrow.
Cillian Murphy.
Who played the Scarecrow.
In Batman, which
begins.
Is the basis
Batman begins,
of every
But anyway,
movie.
It takes place turn of the century, England, Birmingham. I guess that's, is that the north? Up in the north, I think, of England. Doesn't matter either way, but it's their... It's
post-World War I, and he was a World War I vet.
Correct. But he comes back, and he lived in like the poor section of town, and it's the rise of an underworld gang, basically, mm-hmm. an underworld power. And, you know, if you'd ever seen, like, Boardwalk Empire mm-hmm. or things like that, it's a very similar kind of vibe. It's the idea, and you know, it's a weird kind of thing because you're kind of rooting for the bad guys, and yet you blur the lines in terms of who's good guys and who's the bad guys because... Those that represent authority in this are often
corrupt.
far worse in their corruption than those who are.
Yeah, he's sympathetic. He obviously has PTSD. Yeah. He was a tunnel. What do they call him? Tunnel rats.
Tunneler
in World War I, and so he definitely had his issues. And he's kind of a scrapper, but you know, it's pretty violent and all too.
Yes, it is not for the kids. It's not a show for the kids, or you know, anybody.
But it's an incredible time period. Piece. I mean,
it really is.
Every time we look at it, like we just feel like you're living right there.
It's
There's nothing
amazing.
About it that takes you out of that.
Yeah.
But they're Irish.
They're Irish, but living in England. Mm-hmm. But from the sets and the costumes, the lighting, the filmography, it's just incredible, mm-hmm. incredibly beautiful. And
I still like it. I think that any show you like, there's a struggle to maintain what you liked about it at the beginning and keep it interesting without duplicating the exact same thing you liked about it first. They have to vary it a little bit. And
it's the same problem that you can have with a band that you really like. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you really like this band. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. And their second album is coming out. You're so excited. And yet you're either like, oh, it's just like the first one, or oh, it's so different from the first one. And it's a hard thing to, and I get that. So I do get it, but I'm just giving you my personal read on the
show. I didn't really feel that so much yet, but I might. And it definitely has changed. And I do think that it's a little different too when you binge watch it, because you're seeing them right next to, each season is only six episodes, but they're at least an hour.
Yeah, it's a BBC, I think it's a BBC show. And that does make me think a little bit about the philosophy of binge watching, if maybe that's problematic then.
I hope you're not trying to say it's wrong.
No, I'm just saying that it might be more challenging for storytellers and also for those of us who enjoy it. Maybe it becomes more challenging to actually have to see them all back to back like that, because you do start
comparing.
Yeah, making very quick comparisons. Whereas when you're waiting for a show for a long period of time, the anticipation builds and you're ready. And I don't know. It's one of those things about, we watched another show when Jessica and Matt were here, The Expanse.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a really good science. It's a science fiction show, but really good. But again, that was binge watched.
That one stands up pretty well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Although the stark changes that take place in the storyline really become a lot more vivid when you're watching them back to back like that. I noticed that. We watched it with them. We'd already seen those seasons, so we watched
it with
them.
It was your third time and my second time around.
Yeah.
I'd slept through the first time around. So.
Really?
Somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
But that is a really good sci-fi series, if you like that.
Yeah.
Very, very well
done. Fascinating. Political intrigue, all kinds of good storylines.
A lot of details
lines
that
and
makes my head
thing.
Spin.
And
then music. You've been listening to a guy named Dean Lewis.
Dean Lewis has an album. It's really good. I don't know how old that album is. I should look that up. But I just discovered him on Spotify.
And you do this thing where you wake up in the morning and sing one line from the song. That is like an earworm that has been plaguing me. And I love it. But it's been going on all day today. And any other day you start it.
Yeah.
But we should tag it somewhere. I was asking you before if you could play that line.
Copyright laws allow you to do that.
Yeah.
I could write him. I could say, hey, listen, we got this really hugely popular podcast that four people listen to. So could we listen?
could we play your clip? Yeah.
I'm sure he would just be falling all over himself to allow that. But anyway, it's good. If you've got Spotify, look up Dean Lewis. The first song on the album is really good. Waves.
That's the. You'll know the line once you hear it.
Yeah.
It comes and goes in waves.
But it's good. It's
really
good music.
Good. I really like it.
I think you'd enjoy it.
He reminds me of some other singer that I can't put my finger on.
A little bit.
Damien Rice.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think he may be Irish like Damien Rice is, and that's probably where it comes from.
Yeah.
But
not a Christian singer, by the way, even though this is a church podcast.
I honestly know nothing about his spirituality, so I can't really say that he's not a Christian. I have no idea.
So
you wouldn't categorize his music as Christian music, I suppose, although I staunchly resist those classifications and don't subscribe to them.
In case you wanted to know.
In case anybody's interested in my opinion. But what about books or anything? Anybody been reading anything? You've been reading any books lately? Haven't noticed any books laying around.
Whatever.
How about
you?
What podcasts? Do you listen to any new podcasts? You do a lot of podcasts.
I don't think any new ones, just the same old ones. We've traveled a lot this last month, and I'm still trying to get caught up on all the same old ones.
Okay.
So just the same ones.
And for me, I've been reading a lot. I'm like my third time through Catherine Grieve's book on Romans. Just because it's very dense and there's a lot of stuff. It really, honestly, Romans is kind of kicking my butt when it comes to that. It requires so much reading.
Teaching
Romans, because the perspective that I'm in, that I feel drawn to, and that I believe is a good perspective from which to read and understand Romans, is complex. It is not a simple thing. There's a couple Tatum here in the church.
Your book club friend.
Yeah, he's thinking about trying to start a book club, which I think would be really cool. But he's read these books as well, so he understands that perspective, the narrative perspective on Romans. I was asking him the other day, do you think I'm tracking all right with this? And he said, you know, that he did. He felt like I was hitting all the right notes on that. And I got to tell you, and this isn't, it's not, it's whatever, but it's so difficult to read something and agree with it and say, yeah, I see that. That makes sense. And then try to rework it in your mind as to how it is you're going to communicate that to somebody who's uninitiated with the whole concept. Because it takes a while to build the, you know, to build up the ground in, on which you're going to, you know, look at this, this structure of the book. So anyway, it's that's been taking up most of my time reading that. Although I will say that I have been reading Elemental Missional by Lance Ford, which is a workbook, and that's where he came. That's where he first presented the LIGHT acrostic.
Okay.
It's actually near the end of the workbook, but I've been going through that, reading that. Really think I'd like to get more people reading that and working through it. I'd love to see some groups get together, go through that workbook. He said he can get a good price on it for us if we wanted to get those books in. So if you're listening to this and that seems interesting to you, come talk to me, because I would love to see that happen. Because again, it's about getting ourselves prepared and ready for demonstrating the reality of this good news out in the world at large.
That's awesome. So, very cool. We've been traveling lately.
Yes, we have. Long trip.
We did. We took a long trip down to Jupiter, Florida, which is just about an hour and a half north of Miami.
Transporting precious cargo.
Yes, our little grandson.
Took our grandson down to Jupiter, back to his parents, who ruthlessly tore him away from us to go live down there.
Such a sad thing.
Yes, it is. Although, it's a great thing for our son, isn't it? Come on, we could admit that. We're reticent to admit it.
I'm but happy it is for him. Can you tell how happy
I am?
I'm
happy for him.
I will say, though, that we lost one son down to Jupiter, but we gained another son.
That's right. My son Daniel moved back. He and his wife, Melissa.
Melissa. From they were in Jacksonville. They got transferred to Fort Walton Beach for 2 years. And then about a week before we had to return Lincoln, our grandson, to Jupiter, he moved back to Panama City Beach. So he's just down the street from us now, which is awesome. And he accompanied us down to Jupiter to return Lincoln. And we were there for about 4 days or 5 days. And we fit in how many baseball games there? It was amazing.
We four baseball games in 5 days.
It was
beautiful. Well, wait.
Because you count the GCL
game? Yeah, the GCL game makes it four baseball games in 5 days.
We didn't make the first night of baseball because we got there a little too late.
But if you don't know, we like baseball.
It's been very, very good to us.
So we can't say that. I'll cut that out of there.
Okay.
We like baseball.
We do. We love it.
And it's, and our son obviously working for a professional ball team, the Marlins, mighty Marlins.
Yes, and the
mighty sad Marlins.
Mighty Miami Marlins, that's a mouthful. But he lives within walking distance of their minor league team.
Yes,
and
the
so
Hammerheads.
The Hammerheads, the Jupiter Hammerheads. So we went to a couple of those games.
Yes.
And then right across from that is what's called the GCL League, the Gulf Coast League, and that's where
when they get a draft prospect or they bring up a player, it's mostly for the young players or the players that are coming over from Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. This is where they get them trained and started, ready to go into the minor. I never knew anything like that existed.
I never did either. It's basically still another ball field. They just play games. There's just very small stadiums, almost like a high school stadium or something. And outside in the blazing hot heat. But we did watch that. We got to see Connor Scott. Yes. And if any of you happen to see our little bragging video that we posted on Facebook that showed Bradley sitting right behind Derek Jeter on the day of the draft, the first day of the draft, and they showed Connor Scott being their number one pick. We posted that on Facebook whenever that was, a month or two ago. The pick that Derek Jeter talks about, we saw him play. Sorry, that was very wordy and complicated, but
What were you saying?
Never mind. Anyway, we saw this young kid. I think he got drafted for, Bradley was telling us, I forget.
It was a $3 million contract.
Yeah.
He's 18 years old.
Yeah, 18, 19 years old. And Bradley said he gets that up front, and then he gets just a basic.
But he's got to go play baseball every day.
Yeah, and one of the times he, Well, one of the times he got up to hit, I think he struck out and sat down. I said, how'd you like that pressure? You get paid $8 million and you strike out.
$3 million, but yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was more than three.
No, it was a $3 million contract. What?
Okay, like, either way, yeah, it's still a lot.
We'll never see $3 million in our lifetime.
No, it's crazy. But either way, that was really fun. And then the really, really fun game, which we went down to Miami, which, like I said, is an hour and a half away. It was our first game at the Marlin Park Stadium. Yeah, Marlin Park.
Is it Marlin Park or Marlin Stadium? Marlin Park, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for a bank or somebody to buy it or whatever.
Yeah,
take
it'll be
it
Snicker
over.
Stadium before you Snickers. Know it or whatever. And but we actually rented a big old Suburban so we could all ride together because we had two car seats. We had our other granddaughter, grandchild Samantha with us too, and a bunch of adults, and so we couldn't fit in one car. So we rented a big car, and
it was so much fun.
Oh my gosh, it was awesome.
Took a tour through Miami, went through this little area. Wildwood is what was it called? Wildwood?
I don't know. I don't
where
remember.
There's murals painted everywhere.
Windwood. Windwood walls. Or
Windwood
something
walls,
like that.
That was it. And there's murals, beautiful artwork painted all over the place. So we took a whole tour of that. It was fascinating and really fun. Ate some great food, some Brazilian
park.
Food on the way
yes,
down there.
Yep.
At Gordo's. If you're ever on your way down to Miami, stop at Gordo's.
Just
it was delicious.
Just a little hole in the wall off the freeway.
Just amazing. I got half a chicken that was smoked and just ridiculous. It was so good.
Very a family operated little restaurant, hole in the wall kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then got to the stadium an hour or two early and did the full tour. And they had it's a stadium that can open.
Yeah, retractable roof. So they had the roof open.
Said probably the first time they've ever had that in August. And it was a little warm, but you'd go by these great air conditioning vents and cool off every little bit. But it was super fun. The food was amazing. Bradley went up to, he had his employee pass and went upstairs to get some cups to get sodas. And one of his coworkers said, here, I got a couple of tickets behind home plate if you want. He goes, well, there's seven of us. And he goes, oh, well, just do whatever you want with them, sell them or do whatever. And so what we ended up doing was just kind of rotating and two of us taking turns behind home plate.
About three or four rows. Well, no, it was more than that.
It was behind the camera. It was above where the cameras go.
Yeah,
so it was probably 10 or 15 rows.
There's those seats that are like the real royal class seats down there.
That's
the closest.
Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows what those are.
How many
are.
Rows there are, but it was above that. And still,
but it was still right behind home plate. You're seeing everything, seeing all the details
amazing.
Of the game.
We just were so stoked by it. And then Daniel went down there for a while and he came back and I just didn't feel like I belonged. It was too nice. It was way too nice.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
Awesome. Really, really fun. So that was a really good experience and it was fun to.
And the Marlins won, surprisingly,
against the
Cardinals. So that was a fun game.
Yeah.
But the Marlins, they're in the last place in their division. We root for the Marlins.
Because we root for our son.
That's right. But we're still Cubbies fans, too. And Cubbies are leading their division.
They're looking good.
They're about 3.5 games out in front of Milwaukee. So I think it's a pretty sure thing. But who knows? Anything could go stupid. But we should.
I think they're down to.
We should be in the playoffs in our division.
Maybe 30 games left, or just under 30 games, or something like that for the year.
So
and just so close that preseason football has begun.
And preseason football has begun. The Jaguars are looking pretty good.
Andrew Luck is back on the field.
For the Colts, yeah.
The Colts.
Jaguars look a little, actually, on the game that we watched last time, they looked a little shaky to me. I'm not sure, but so did the Colts. So I don't know. And again. They go out in preseason. It's all pedestrian stuff. They're not really showing off what they're really planning on doing.
Yeah, nobody wants to get hurt.
Yeah, and they're not wanting to show all their cards at this stage of the game. So either way, it's fun. We got the whole sports thing swinging back into play.
That's a fun time of year.
It is. The overlap's difficult for me because it's hard. Baseball has one pace and football has a completely different pace.
It's hard
pace.
To shift gears.
And once college football starts up, I mean, that's how many games in a
Saturday.
Day. Yeah, that's a lot of games to try to get through. So
but how many do we watch, Rob?
Well, you're just such a fanatic that I don't know. You watch so many games. So many.
I can usually take one game from beginning to end. And after that, I'm back on my computer.
I probably only watch 5 games. On a Saturday. Either way, doesn't matter.
Good
Nobody
times,
cares about
good
this.
Times.
Good. So a lot of times on the podcast, we'll talk about a volunteer at eSkate U. Is there anybody that you comes to mind that you want to talk about today, Robbie?
Yeah, I was thinking of mentioning my friend, been a longtime friend of mine, Susie Adams.
Susie.
Yeah, she has done a ton of stuff for eSkate over the years.
She really has. Yeah. You can almost always count on Susie to be there. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens, whatever function's going on, she's always been such a kind, loving person.
Yeah, in fact, she and I actually also worked together at Laguna Beach Retreat after Hurricane Opal, answering phones and helping people get set up there. But
it wasn't Hurricane Opal, but it was...
No, I'm sorry, Katrina.
Yes.
Katrina, yeah. When
we had people coming in from New Orleans who were displaced, and they were staying at the Laguna Beach Christian Retreat.
Right. So, but at eSkate, she does childcare. She helps in KidsGate. She used to do she was the first one, I think, who did a parents' night where she would babysit kids so parents could have a date night years ago.
She's actively involved with that now on the student nights.
She helps that on student night. She just kind of fills in wherever we need her.
She's a greeter a lot of times.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's helped me in the bookstore. Just pretty much wherever we need her, she will help. And one of the other things she does and provides as a free service for anyone that needs it is her notary services. And that's partly why I'm thinking of her, because she just notarized our wills on Sunday. We finally got those done. I bought them probably a year or two ago online, which is kind of my money minute too, just as a reminder to everyone, every adult out there needs a will. Even the very basic, you can get it online for more or less $100, even a little less than that. You don't have to spend a ton of money with
will I really need it though will
yes,
I
will. Yes, she will.
Okay.
Because it'll make it so much easier for your family and if your loved ones. And it, like I said, it doesn't have to be super complicated or anything. You just name your beneficiary.
But don't we have to be like really, really old to have to worry about something like that?
You don't have to be old and you don't have to have a lot. You basically just want to name where your money's going to go and anything specific that you want. Like if you have a specific way you want to be buried or anything like that. If you don't, that's fine too. But it will help do it for your family. It's not for yourself. Do it for your family, and it'll make everything so much easier for them. And it's funny, I didn't know this, but apparently a lot of people are very superstitious, and they feel that once they make a will that they're going to die.
Well, like, here's an interesting tidbit.
They will.
Everybody's going to die.
They are.
Everybody's
but I mean, the
dying.
Word is going to happen right away, I guess, after they do a will.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So anyway, Susie notarized our wills on Sunday. They're together. They're in our fireproof.
Because I was going to say, everybody who has had a will has either died or will be dying.
Yes. That's just another little tidbit. Anyway.
That's just a little. That's a little information. Just that you can
from
keep.
The pastor. You know you're gonna die.
There you go. I'm so glad I'm listening. So, but anyway, but so that's a money minute thing. But the thing that we want to remember is that Susie is just a big help around there. And if you do need to have something notarized, make sure you try to find her. That's something that
she
does as a
with
ministry
her all the
for
time.
For eSkate. And she did that for us the other day, as you were saying. And oh, bless her heart. She had papers strewn out all over the place. And Jerry and Shirley Allen were helping out. And that was very kind
they
of her.
They were witnesses.
But so there's the thing. If you're wondering, you know, why eSkate is so awesome or, you know, why it's such a great church. Well, because of Susie Adams.
That's
and people
right.
like her. All of us together, gathered together as a family, working together to do this awesome thing called the Kingdom of God.
Right on.
So that's not a thing.
What is not a thing?
That is not a thing. That is not a thing.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's just not a thing.
What is it?
Well, you know, one of the things that we talk about is things that are not things, like misquotations from the Bible or different perspectives that, you know, that we think are accurate or part of the biblical worldview that kind of are not, that are more tradition than anything else. One thing that just came up, and it came out of a Christianity Today article that I thought was really interesting, is that one of the favorite verses that people have out of the book of Job, and, you know, Job isn't usually like a go-to book when it comes to people skimming through their Bible or whatever,
right.
but there's one verse out of Job that most people will go to all the time, Job 13:15, where it says, at least in the King James Version, though he slay me,
yet
will
I trust
him. Yeah, and people will come to that over and over again. Well, interestingly enough, if you look at like the NIV, which kind of follows that same translation, they'll put down in the footnotes in there a different way that is actually worded. And
is that more accurate?
The literal reading of this is quite different from that altogether. It actually is saying that he may well slay me. I may have no hope, but I will argue my case before him.
Whoa.
So it's kind of a different thing altogether. And there's arguments both directions as how this should be translated. But actually, on the side of serious scholarship, if you put it in the context of what Job is going through, he's arguing his case all the way through the first part of this book, arguing for his innocence and getting rather cynical as he goes. It actually fits more with that, the idea that he's going to argue his case before God. Hmm. The translators early on felt that it was undermined his heroic status in this. And so they kind of flipped that. And apparently it can go, I'm not a linguistic scholar, so I'm not sure it could go the other way, but it really doesn't fit the larger context. And so most translations actually word it, he may well slay me. I may have no hope, but I'll argue my case before him.
You mean the scholars are saying that it undermined Job's
The early status? Scholars worried that it undermined his status as the hero of faith in this whole thing. When in actuality, that's not what the book of Job is about. I would argue that all the way around. The book of Job is the human voice of disillusionment. And then it is wonderful that it's there in the Bible because we need that. Because life goes stupid all the time. And there's not a whole lot of answers. And Job isn't there to give us answers. Job is there to give us a voice of complaint and disillusionment when life goes sideways like it so often does.
Right.
And that's helps us to recognize. Yeah, it's, you know, as one of the wisdom books, it's interesting. But think a little more, just think on it a little bit more before we pull out, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Realize that it may not be saying exactly what we think it's saying. It may not be the thing we think it is.
That's interesting. Okay, well, what about, do you have any marriage?
Marriage or relationship stuff, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Do I have a marriage? I do have a marriage.
Do you have a marriage? Do you have a marriage idea? Wait, should
well, we had an idea way back there.
Do you have a way of making it better?
Yeah, well, let's drive around and see. I was gonna say that I was thinking back on our relationship and the phases that we went through, and a lot of couples that I'm aware of. One thing that happens in our lives is that we have a tendency to get really, really focused on the immediate and the busyness of our lives in those middle years, late 20s through the 30s and 40s. When the kids are growing up, and that takes a lot of focus.
Demand. I mean,
you remember those days, right? I mean, some of it's a blur, actually. I don't know. We had our kids a year apart and, from each other, and it was challenging. And it took a lot of focus from our side, a lot of effort, and a lot of work. There's the challenges of your work life. You're building a career. You're doing all these different things, especially in a two-income household where, you know, both parents maybe working and focused on those things. The one thing that I would always encourage, and I would say that that was one thing that you and I stumbled upon and did accidentally right, is to make sure you focus on your relationship with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine, but there is going to come a point in time when everything that you're doing is going to come to a screeching halt. You don't realize it, but you know, it just seems like this is the way life is, and you define the entire relationship by all of these busy things that you're doing with the kids and with the work. But at some point, the work changes. You'll change. You'll be moving into a different phase of the whole thing. And the kids are actually going to be moving on and moving out. And you'll be surprised at how suddenly that can come up upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't taken time to make sure that you know this person beside you, make sure you have really, really looked at your wife and looked at your husband and made sure that you've taken the time to keep working on that relationship with each other, remembering the things that bring you joy and pursuing those things together as a couple. It's a really important facet, and it's been a stumbling block for a lot of people who didn't take that time and sit in an empty nest staring at each other blankly, trying to remember who that person is.
As you're in this together.
Right.
And not working against each other.
And of course, you know, one thing to always remember, if you've got multiple kids, especially, that the kids are trying to take over the home.
Always.
So you know, the husband and wife, that's a team there to try to maintain some sanctity
Yes.
of ownership of that house. So there's one thing that you have in common. You
Yes.
can bond together over your resistance of this revolution that's trying to take place.
Yes.
But even beyond that, to make sure that you do take that time to get a babysitter, to get away, to take those long looks at each other and remember who this person is. Remember why it is that you're there sharing this life journey together. And it will pay off in the future. I can guarantee that.
It's awesome. I like it.
I think we've kind of come to the end of this, haven't we, Rocky?
Sounds like we've run out of words.
I can't think of anything else to say, unless everybody wants to drive around with us for a little while.
Sounds like a good time to stop if we don't have any more words to say.
Yes. So I think at this point, probably all four people have nodded off to sleep, so we're probably in a good range here. We've successfully gotten everybody to nap or to
or got them to work on time, hopefully,
yeah.
Not asleep.
Yeah, yes, in that case, especially so. But so until we get together again and do this again, this is us. This is Eastgate. We're learning to love God. We're learning to love others.
This is our story so far.
See you next time.
God bless.
Intro music for the Wonder What podcast was provided by Matt Green from his album Songs, available for purchase at Bandcamp, iTunes, or stream it online at Spotify. Additional music performed by Dr. Turtle, Derek Clegg, and Scott Holmes from the Free Music Archive.